Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm Karen Kaiser, the chairman of the Substance Abuse Advisory Board, and this is our annual briefing to the Board of County Councilors. We're going to start off with introductions, and I'm going to ask each one of you as we go around the room to introduce yourself and what entity you're with.
I am Kathy Deschner, and I'm the Coalition Coordinator for Prevent Together, the Battleground Prevention Alliance.
And I'm Tiffany Schweideman. I'm the Prevention Specialist with the Department of Community Services.
I'm Megan Streeter. I am the Coordinator for Prevent Clark County out of ESD 112.
And I'm Lucianne Kendall. I'm the Coordinator for West Bend for Youth.
I'm Joey Smith. I'm a board member.
I'm Marcia Roy from Clark College and a board member.
Michael Ware, and I'm one of the board members.
Shane Gardner, board member.
Mark Falk, County Alpha.
Julie Olson, County Council.
Tom Belkey, County Council.
And in, as Mark McCauley put it, the peanut gallery.
Dee Steeler, I'm the behavioral health manager at the Department of Community Services.
Jerry Zephyr, Lifeline Connections.
Holly Gilbert, Public Information.
Yeah. Cindy Smith, Support Center, Health Conference. Barbara Garrier, County Drug and Alcohol
Programs. Camila Duesman, also Program Coordinator for the Health Conference Program.
The guy who runs everything.
I will say this at this moment, that the county members, Dee Dee, Camilo, Barbara, Cindy, have all played a big part in the work that the SAW board does. And as you can see on the slide, this is our current board. We have a few absentees, but that's okay. Out of this board member, out of this board list this morning, I was looking at it and realized there are 6 current members that are in recovery. And then there are some of us who have been affected by drug and alcohol usage who, as a spouse or a mother, are affected, and we are serving very advocately for the recovery of Clark County.
Thank you. I'd like to start off with just a basic statement that I hope everyone in this room can agree with, and that is that addiction is not a choice. It's a chronic brain disease. It's been categorized as such by medical society for many, many years, but it's a statement that I think we all need to emphasize and kind of is a great starting point. Then I would also like to talk a little bit about the detox inpatient residential and sobering unit that the good folks over at Lifeline Connections have set up. Thanks very much to them for supplying us with this data. Thanks for the incredible work they do. There's probably not another facility in the state of Washington that helps the underinsured and Medicaid population the way that the folks at Lifeline do. They provide great treatment. We're very appreciative. Also, we'll talk a little bit, not to get too bogged down in statistics, but the primary and secondary drug use in our county, and then a cost-benefit overview and a budget. Turning to the next slide, we're going to look at the detox unit at Lifeline Connections. I think the important thing for us to note here is that in the detox population, it's slanted towards males. It looks like males are almost 2/3 of the folks that go into the detox unit over at Lifeline. Also, another important statistic is admissions paid by. Over 75% is the county and Medicaid. And, you know, once again, Clark County is leading the state in the treatment that is provided to our underinsured and the people that need it the most. So thank you once again for that. The type of substances identified at intake, I think we're all aware of the heroin epidemic that we're facing, not only in the Pacific Northwest, all over the country, but we seem to be particularly hard hit here. Heroin leads. The second statistic there, I think a lot of times we tend to forget about alcohol and the role of addiction around alcohol. It's kind of an oldie but a goodie. It was my personal drug of choice, so I like to see it get a little press. Alcohol has never gone away, and it never will, so let's not forget about King Alcohol when we talk about substances that people use. The third there would be meth. There was a huge meth epidemic here a few years ago. It's not as bad as it used to be, but unfortunately it's because people are using other substances. It tends to be a little bit cyclical, but meth is certainly still out there. Taking a look at the admissions in the detox unit, 64% of the patients that went through the Lifeline detox completed their detox treatment, which is a very impressive number. Also, in the statistics here, note that 65% of the folks that went to Lifeline stayed within their system after the detox, so they went into their inpatient or their outpatient, or they were on the waiting list for a bed. So that's also a very impressive statistic, that over 65% stayed in the system. The rest were outsourced to other resources like self-help, 12-step groups, outpatient facilities, and other government agencies. Taking a quick look at the next slide on the residential component, we see that the male-female is a little bit more equal. It's slightly favors male, 60%, 40% female. Once again, discharge outcomes from the residential program at Lifeline, over 62% completed their residential stay, which is a very good statistic. Slightly over 20% left against staff advice. That number may sound high, but it's actually not. That's a very impressive statistic as well. And as far as the type of substance identified at intake, notice that alcohol is number one there. And I think we have to keep in mind, while I certainly don't want to de-emphasize alcohol because it's there, I think a lot of that insurance companies tend to pay for certain things for treatment. And I think that a lot of times they'll pay for alcohol when they won't pay for other substances. So part of that statistic could be that they're trying to make it work to where insurance is paying for the treatment. But still, alcohol is still a huge, huge part of the equation. The sober unit, which is new to Clark County, the number one goal is to engage people to try to feed into the detox system for the overflow for detox. And I know that our police authorities, both the police and the county with the sheriff, it relieves the emergency department and the jails. Some of the important things about the program, it's a 24-hour medical and support staff, so it's always manned. There is a 12-hour maximum stay at the sobering unit, and there's many, many resources that are offered when people go to the detox unit so they can get signed up for all the various insurances and the other county support. I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is to try to get those people into treatment if we can. You know, nobody wants a revolving door where it's the same folks that are coming through the sobering unit. And, you know, there's some challenges around that. But the ultimate goal is to get these people help to where they don't keep showing up into the sobering unit. Once again, on the primary drug use, there's a quick little chart here. You can take a look at it yourself. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but there seems to be a debate in our county about marijuana. Yeah, if you look at the statistics for the last few years, there's not a lot of change there. That's not the most current data, so we're all going to want to watch, you know, in these coming years what happens with marijuana use, with the legalization. You know, we certainly support y'all's stance on the marijuana situation here in Clark County, and, you know, as a board, we would love for you to continue that stance. There's nothing good for any addict when the accessibility of a drug is made easier. Nothing good happens. So that's my political comment for the day. Once again, alcohol. Notice alcohol is still alive and kicking on that chart. And then secondary drug use. The statistics, one of the other things here is that marijuana is on the rise as a secondary. You know, what we see generally with the adult population is you're looking at heroin, alcohol, and meth. But when you start looking at adolescents, that's where marijuana becomes one of the top three. So, you know, the access to marijuana, and I know some of our ladies are going to address what's happening with the youth today, but that's really important with that, with the younger users. So a cost-benefit overview, once again, not to get too caught up in it. This statistic is from SAMHSA, that basically for every dollar spent on addiction treatment, there's $12 in savings. So if you extrapolate all those numbers since 2003, just here in Clark County, you know, we're looking at almost $1 billion in savings because of treatment. So those are pretty powerful numbers. So once again, thank you for your support. We certainly ask for it to be continued. And then the last slide, the last two slides were on budget. In 2015-16, so this isn't for the whole year, this is to date. It's $2 million. Obviously, with the early adopter coming on board, you know, this is going to be going away. But that's down. I think the important number there is in 2007 through 2009, that number was $11.4 million. So, unfortunately, those numbers have gone down considerably. And then as far as budget is concerned, it's slightly over $2.5 million, which is approximately what it was in 2008. So that's remained pretty steady. So thanks for your attention, and I'm going to pass it on down the line.
Thanks, Joel.
So, good morning. I have a couple minutes to talk about growth trends, and then.
About an hour. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shane.
I don't make that mistake when I karaoke. So I have a couple minutes to talk about drug trends, and then we're going to talk about the vending house. But I want to thank you for your time. As the longest standing current board member, Kathy Deschner was on the board when I first joined back in 2005. I've had the opportunity to come before you 10 times now, and you've been a board that listens to what we say, and we appreciate that very much. As a result of your leadership in this county, our county is a model, a national model, that people often call asking, how do we do what we do? And it's because of our relationship with you and your understanding of this problem. So I want to thank you for that. Cindy, if you'll go back to slide 4, please. So it's not surprising that the drug trends in our community reflect what intake is occurring. I just want to point out some of the reasons behind it. Meth used to be this big problem that we had. It was they had the ability to manufacture it locally, and that was affecting real estate prices. It was affecting a number of safety concerns in our community, and that isn't the case anymore, and they aren't even able to manufacture it at the level that they are in Mexico that they used to, because Sudafed is now a Schedule 1 drug in Mexico and several other Latin American countries, so it's less readily available. But heroin has always been there. Even while we were cleaning up meth labs here in Clark County, heroin was still there. But there's a correlation between heroin and OxyContin. And as the medical community prescribes, and we've had our bouts with pain management clinics in our own community, as medical care providers over-prescribe, people are easily addicted to these kinds of drugs. And the transition between OxyContin when their prescription runs out and into heroin then is being seen at younger and younger and younger ages. We have multiple horrific stories of great 12-year-old boys that were the drummer in the church band that got addicted to heroin and now are battling that for the rest of their lives. So heroin is still there, and it's always been there, and I will again maintain that abolishing these drugs from our community isn't going to be the solution. It's healing our community in a way that kids aren't seeking these drugs, but it comes from our mental health, the way that we treat mental health, the way that our healthcare system works, the way that our support networks work, the way that our mentoring system works, which is where we're having great success in this community, and I will touch on that when we get to the then and now. But heroin is a big problem. Alcohol has always been a problem. And I had an epiphany a couple years ago I will share with you, because after, at the time, it was 14 years in law enforcement, I hadn't made the connection. Perhaps you have. I was at a recovery forum sitting around a table of addicts, and they were all talking about the first time they used their drug of choice, whether it was meth, heroin, or cocaine. And each one of them said, man, I remember the first time I used, I was drunk. And the other one said, me too. And the other one said, me too. And it was really clear to me that alcohol obviously lowers inhibitions, and it's in those moments that people decide to try these new things. So we have this drug that's in our community as a staple, alcohol, that we deal with how we deal with, and we don't consider it the gateway drug that it is. And it is a huge gateway drug, and we have to be aware of stores that are now selling spirits and not selling them responsibly by putting them close to the door where they can be shoplifted, and a number of others. And at the state level, we'd still, I would still advocate for a point of receipt tax for the stores. The current system they have where three times of shoplifting and they can lose their alcohol license is all well and good, but then stores quit reporting thefts from their store so that it still isn't solving the issue, which we want to get to the heart of the issue. So anyways, we still have cocaine in our community, we still have meth in our community, we still have alcohol and heroin and of course marijuana, and we're seeing it more and more now that it's legal for adults to possess in this state that it is seeping down into the juvenile, just like tobacco and some other things. And now we'll move to the then and now. Sorry to make you do the Olympics there, Cindy, thank you. 10 years ago when I started on the board, we had no countywide prevention coalitions. We have been fortunate to have people with the foresight to write for federal grants, and it started with the Prevent Coalition, which was our first drug-free communities grant, where the federal government has been investing $100,000 a year into our community, and that coalition has then birthed other coalitions, not only in our county, but in adjacent counties as well. Skamania County and Kalama have had mentorship from. But as a result of that, and I think it's on the next slide. Click, click. Now, where did that slide go with? Go back. since then, we've had La Center Coalition is a drug-free communities grant, Battleground Coalition, West Van for Youth is a state coalition that we have, Washougal Unite is a statewide coalition, and all of these prevention efforts are interconnected in that the coordinators all attend meetings just like this to share what they're doing in their communities, and we know that there's bleed over, and I'm happy to say that there's a new coalition that Prevent has mentored, and we're beginning the process of writing for, and it'll be called something similar to Connect Evergreen, but it'll be out in the Evergreen School District area, which is, if you look at a map of where the coalitions are, it's the one void that we have in our community. So we're really excited for that.
She's getting to the map. There's the map.
So you can see the green there is the battleground, and the red is all Prevent. And in the lower left where it says Vancouver is the West Van for Youth. The yellow at the bottom right there is Washougal Unite. And then the new one in that Mill Plain Cascade Park area will be our, the other urban area will be the Connect Evergreen.
So, Shane?
Yes.
So the work that was instilled at the Mountain View High School, I mean, that was a great team. How was that funded?
So the school districts have prevention intervention specialists, and this particular prevention intervention specialist at Mountain View had grown her prevention club to the point where it was one that was popular amongst the kids, and it developed its own groundswell. But that's through the school district, the prevention intervention specialist.
Okay.
But again, another great example of partnerships, because Carolyn Newman, who headed that up, was a member of Prevent at the time, and so we were all able to use our synergy to be very successful with bringing in community members and stakeholders to show these kids that you're not in a silo here, the community cares what you're doing. Our Oxford houses, another moment I'll share with you that when I was early on in my law enforcement career, I didn't understand what the Oxford houses were all about. I thought we're bringing a bunch of addicts into a community. And I took it upon myself to educate to be educated on exactly how these Oxford houses work, and I couldn't be a bigger supporter now. We have more Oxford houses per capita here in Clark County than anywhere else in the state. And it's an extremely successful program where they have mentorship, where when you move into the house leader, you follow rules, you have chores that you have to do, you have meetings that you go to each week, house meetings where they get to air grievances and talk about chores. They do community service for their neighborhoods, and they're very tightly monitor the behavior of one another to hold each other accountable. And the reason that our Oxford houses have grown is because as somebody comes up through the Oxford houses ranks, as they've spent time living in that, they are then selected to be the leader of a new Oxford house in this community. And then that house is planted and that becomes a new leader. But this mentorship is no different from what we're asking for our youth. Our youth, we want mentors, people that have already been there to show them the way. And in drug recovery, it's the same part. And we talk for years, we talk about prevention, treatment, and what are the three legs?
Recovery.
And we've talked a lot in this community about the fourth leg of that stool being restoration, where those people in recovery that are giving back and actually building on. And that's another thing that we've focused on in this community in particular. We want to thank you again for the 0.1% MEPTAX that you passed years ago. It has made a major difference in this community, that money. And our recovery community is strong. The support of the Center for Community Health, before that building was there, people would have to get on a bus and go from point A to point B to go to different services. Now they can come to one building, and it's amazing to have law enforcement be able to drop somebody off there at detox and have that person able to segue into treatment. It's just, it's not something that every other community has. We recognize that, and we are grateful for that. Our treatment expansion, the sobering unit, these ideas that we have, we're grateful for your support of those and for listening to people that are in the industry, even as we talk about Suboxone, and we've done those studies with those being deployed to first responders now for people that are in respiratory arrest for heroin overdose, et cetera. All those forward thinking are saving lives and are making a difference, and we're grateful for that.
Okay, we're going to skip the Juvenile Recovery Court graduate for the moment. Our speaker has not arrived, so we're going to move right into our prevention updates. We're going to hear from Battleground Prevention Alliance first, and then Prevent Coalition, Strong Teams Against Substance Abuse and Hazards, Unite Washougal Community Coalition, and West Van for Youth. Kathy?
Good morning, I'm Kathy Deschner, and just to build a little bit on what Shane had to say, I had a flashback being in this very room for being on the Substance Abuse Advisory Board and doing some retreats with our board here in this very room and talking a lot about prevention. And so our small little group that was focused on prevention was able to find the SAMHSA Drug-Free Communities grants, and so that's where that first grant was written, and the county graciously provided the grant writer to write that very first grant. So I appreciate what Shane had to say about that, and I'm so excited. I had a huge interest in prevention and had a dream of working in prevention. I spent about 25 years here in Clark County raising money for organizations like the YWCA and Community Services Northwest and Innovative Services. So, but in my heart, I really wanted to do some prevention work as a staff person in addition to the volunteer work I had done. So here I am in Battleground. We got our grant in September of 2014. So we've been working really hard to get the coalition up and running and being effective in our community. We're doing that by recruiting we have some great leaders, and so we're working with Bob Richardson, who's the chief of police, and many other leaders in the community. We have been working hard to train members of our coalition, and one of the things that the CADCA is the support system for coalitions for drug-free communities, and they provide excellent training. So we're working on getting all of us trained to do the best practices. Everything is based on evidence-based practices, so when you diagnose the problem in your community, you're prescribing a very effective strategy to address that issue. We are involving youth in our work. We took six youth to the National Prevention Network training in Seattle, so they receive some of the same training that our adults receive on the strategic planning framework that makes effective coalitions, and we're continuing to work with those youth. So what we'll be focusing on for the rest of this year and as we move forward is we're really, of course, concerned about underage drinking. As has been stated in other comments made today, that is still remains a concern. And there's a very low perception of harm among parents, adults, and the youth. That same thing is true with marijuana. Parents from the 60s and 70s don't have the impression of the impact it can have on the adolescent brain, and we have so much information and so much research that has been done on the impact of marijuana on the developing brain, and so we're continuing to work to build that awareness And we are working in partnership with other coalitions such as Prevent Clark County, who has developed a fabulous presentation to share that information. So that's our focus. We're working hard with the schools. We have, we're very fortunate the Battleground community also received an AWARE grant, which is a federal mental health awareness grant. So we're working in partnership with them. We also have Connect Battleground, which is very focused on mentoring. We are also working with Clark County Public Health on ACEs, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Trauma-Informed Care. So we have many resources in our community, and Prevent is working closely with all of those great efforts in our community and making sure that we're at the table. So we appreciate the opportunity to share with you our great work. We'd love for you to come to our Spring Coalition meeting, which is a week from next Tuesday at 5:30 at Battleground High School. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hi, I'm Megan Streeter. I'm the coordinator for Prevent Clark County. And we were established in 2007. We were sort of the grandmother, I suppose, of many coalitions in the area. Now, we've actually been mentoring quite a few coalitions, including Connect Evergreen, which Shane mentioned earlier. We've had a lot of recent events going on. Teens Care 2 is an event that we put on with Seisha, with Clark College, and with West Van for Youth, where we had over 200 youth from Clark and Skamania counties come to Clark College for a day of workshops and a keynote speaker, Conversation Cafe. It was wonderful to get them all together for a leadership and prevention summit that they were able to attend. We are also, as Kathy mentioned, working with a new marketing campaign, specifically trauma-informed, ACEs-informed youth marijuana campaign that is coming out of our new grant, which is a marijuana state marijuana funding that we just got with in coordination with the Department of Health. We will be working with the Department of Health and with Skamania and Clark counties to be able to provide education and prevention for youth in both counties. That is called the Youth Now campaign. And at, you probably won't be able to see this one there, but we are working on some really beautiful images, aren't they great? And we just got we just finished a huge survey of 1,200 applicants or youth that responded to that survey. And from those responses, we got over 10,000 comments. And with those comments, we'll be able to really shape this campaign and really make it youth-driven. We will actually be using some of those comments in our campaign, so that's really coming from the youth. And that survey also gave us a lot of information about what the youth in our communities are really looking for with this campaign and what they know and what they are really looking for as far as prevention work. We are also working on Cannabis Conversations, which is in partnership with the Youth Now campaign. And that is a toolkit really driven towards talking to youth about marijuana. Now that it's legal, how does that conversation change? And that toolkit is really driven towards adults that have interactions with kids. So that can be parents, that could be teachers, that could be any sort of prevention worker. And that is all on our website right now. We have a Cannabis 101 section that's all about giving information to parents and adults to know what to actually talk to their kids about. And then the rest of the information is split apart in different age groups. So we've got how to talk to youth that are ages 8 to 12. We've got how to talk to youth ages 13 to 17. We're working on Cannabis Conversations for the 18 to 21 range, and then how to talk youth to youth, so this can actually be a conversation happening with the youth in our communities. We're also working with Leadership Clark County, which LCC Project is working on a point of purchase campaign. We will be putting little cards that have information about how to keep cannabis safe and away from kids. Those will be going in the bags at retailers in our communities, which we're very excited about that project.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my name is Tiffany Schweiderman, as I mentioned, and I have the honor of coordinating the STACIA Peer Education Program. STACIA stands for Strong Teams Against Substance, Hazards, and Abuse. And the program was established by my predecessor in 2008 in response to Clark County citizens requesting that leadership opportunities be made available for young people around substance abuse prevention. And the mission of the program is to help prevent substance abuse and encourage Clark County youth to make healthy decisions through non-judgmental youth-to-youth advice and or suggestions. And so youth in our county, you're eligible for the program if you are in seventh grade, ranging through your freshman year of college, if you're attending school locally. And we really strive to represent all of the school districts in Clark County. And we welcome youth who have never used drugs or alcohol, youth with a history of past experimentation, and youth who have completed treatment and are now in recovery. So STATIA projects are youth-driven, which means that from year to year, the youth in the program get to decide what they want to take on that year and really decide how they're going to do it. There are some annual traditions for the STATIA program. For example, Policymakers Education Day. This is a day that STATIA members travel to Olympia, along with many other youth prevention groups in the state of Washington, and meet with their legislators. And the topic of those meetings changes from year to year depending on what STATIA members are concerned about that particular year. For example, this year they were concerned about underage e-cigarette use in Clark County. STATIA members advise and support local coalitions, so we strive to have a STATIA liaison on each one of the five substance abuse prevention coalitions in Clark County, and we have a strong history and partnership with some of these coalitions. And they provide education to other youth organizations, and also for the last 4 years, they've hosted what's called Prevention is a Party. So this is an event at the Marshall Center, and it started because STATIA members were concerned about how popular it was for young people to celebrate a date commonly associated with marijuana use, which is April 20th or 420. So we held the first event on April 20th, and they wanted to provide a fun, safe, healthy event for middle school and high school students in Clark County that had a positive message. And so each year since then, we've held this event near the date of April 20th. Guests that attend, they get an application to join the STATIA program. They get prevention messages, information, resources, of course, a night of fun of swimming, basketball, dancing, volleyball, free food. The event has grown in attendance each year, and next month will be our fifth year hosting the event on Friday, April 15th at the Marshall Center. And Margaret McCarthy is the coordinator for Unite Washougal, so I'm going to read a little statement that she sent me with today. She apologizes that she's not here. She is in Prosser, Washington right now at an evidence-based parenting class, Guiding Good Choices. She's doing a training for that. Since last year, Unite has added e-cigarettes to the list of focuses that they're working on. They have added three evidence-based strategies, the Incredible Years parenting class, and two social-emotional learning curriculums into the schools. These curriculums promote mental health and reduce substance abuse. Second step for preschool, from preschool to fifth grade, positive action for middle school youth. And as a result, all Washougal school students will have access to development around self-calming, cooperation, and drug refusal skills. Last year, we also participated in the Let's Draw the Line youth-led program. Our youth learned about alcohol and tobacco advertising and the effects in their community. Over 40 youth participated in the community survey of neighborhood stores, media training, and celebration of drug-free activities. Our youth leaders presented at a Spring Youth Forum and won an Impact Award for involving over 8 sectors. We are building community partners across the 12 sectors, including local law enforcement, schools, businesses, youth, parents, religious, youth serving, and substance abuse treatment, and local government. We just submitted our Drug-Free Communities grant application last week. Thank you for your continued support and the important work we are doing as a community at Washougal. From Margaret.
My name is Lucy Ann, and again, I represent West Bend for Youth. We were established in 2011. Tiffany is my predecessor. What we are currently working on is we just last week submitted for our Drug-Free Communities grant to build policy changes here in West Bend for Youth, West Vancouver. Another thing that we are working on is we actually formed a partnership with 4-H, which will bring more youth into our coalition, which we're very excited about. We are currently holding parenting classes at the YWCA. This is a new partnership for us. They are going to bring their foster parent program to us, and we're going to provide education of Guiding Good Choices. Another thing that we are currently working on is billboards in our downtown area and within West Vancouver. We are getting ready to change our positive community messages. If you go into a store in West Vancouver and you purchase alcohol, you actually get one of our messaging bags. It's a canvas bag, reusable, and on both sides it has Spanish and English, talking about the messaging for our community that we want the community to be aware of. We also work with Leadership Clark County to perform, to come up with that idea to purchase, to use these bags for purchase. And I thank you for your support.
Okay, the next few slides are over cover grants for Access to Recovery, better known as ATR, drug court enhancement. There's lots of information here on the Access to Recovery. Clark County has served over 6,500 individuals since 2004. The current program referred to as ATR-4 is currently going. Its priority is for veterans, National Guard, parenting, and pregnant women. Note, though, that since 2004, ATR has served 260 veterans. So the main thing I want to touch on this one is for 12 years, Clark County Department of Community Services has worked very close in collaboration with the Washington State Division of Behavioral Health and Recovery to develop the ATR into its current nationally acclaimed program model. And I have seen the results in my prior employment of what ATR can do for these people who are in recovery, that it gives them that lift up to get back into society, like Shane mentioned, and become a viable member of our community and give back to the community. Next slide. So these slides just are going to give you some data to follow up. The one thing to remember is each of those individuals has a baseline established at intake and a review of the access to recovery supports at a six-month follow-up point. So they're not just given these funds and then just sent out on their merry way. There is follow-up. There are support people working with them to get them their housing, on-the-job training, or schooling to get a job and get them back into the workforce. Notice that the rate of homelessness has decreased by 71.7%. Though, if you're out and about, whether it's here in Vancouver or in Portland, there's still a very big homelessness society that has not taken advantage or does not want to take advantage of the benefits that are out there for them. But the good news is that Clark County received ATR-4 for three more years, so that gives us into 2018 or 2017 at the end of the year. And so we're very grateful to the federal government for giving that funds to Clark County. Not everybody got ATR-4 funds. The program was cut sizably, so we're very fortunate here in Clark County. Drug court enhancement grant. This is a program that we are seeing here in Clark County working very well. And as Shane alluded to and some of their speakers have, when we're out and about to other parts of the state of Washington, we're asked, how does Clark County do all of this? Well, it's because we have people such as our county counselors that are very supportive of programs for the residents of Clark County. So this is a program that's working. It follows the programs as asserted. The Juvenile Recovery Court Enhancement Grant, that's a three-year SAMHSA grant, $325,000 per year. Notice this is for ages 15 through 17. This is working with those youth that have gotten in trouble and can access recovery. And our speaker, who still has not arrived, is a graduate of this program, and I was really hoping he could make it to speak to us today. Next one, Cindy. Community Voices Are Born. This is a peer-to-peer mentoring program, and this is also funded by a SAMHSA grant. This is used through the Clark County Therapeutic Court therapeutic court participants. This is, in the next couple of slides, this shows the peer support. 307 incoming therapeutic court participants. They each get a mentor. These and peer support groups, classes. You know, it's giving these kids a chance to turn their lives back around. Okay. This slide, recommendations, it is the SOBS board's final wish that you will continue to support clients utilizing local sales tax funding when Medicaid funding isn't applicable. Continue to support the marijuana dispensary moratorium, including operating producers, processors, manufacturing, and retailers. Support the drug paraphernalia ordinance. Support prevention efforts. Support H. Bill 2313, which raises the legal age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21. And the next slide, well, the next two slides, these are slides with links so that you can see, watch, I guess, check out, get involved with what's happening in the county. We've got the ACES Club at Clark College, Healthy Youth Survey. I looked at this Healthy Youth Survey after being at a Prevent Coalition meeting, and there's a lot of information. This is surveys for
sixth graders, eighth graders, and tenth graders.
And you can see what the different school districts or the whole state is doing. We have the rest of the coalitions listed. There is the new coalition, which I want to touch base on, Southwest Washington Recovery Coalition. This coalition has come about to step up and take over some of the items that the SOB board in the past has put on, i.e. the recovery forum, which I know that some of you have attended. But these links, if you go into the actual document or the actual slide presentation that Cindy emailed out to all of you, you can just click on the link and it'll take you right to their website. Marsha?
My name is Marsha Roy. I'm the coordinator of the Addiction Counseling and Education Department at Clark College. Discussing partnerships, we're talking about the then and now framework. What we call the ACED program, Addiction Counseling and Education Department, we've trained the addiction counselors here in the area. In the past 15 years, I've watched our department, the program enrollment quadruple. We are now a nationally accredited program, and our students are employed in virtually every facility in the area. The program also sponsors a student club, which you just saw, which is the Addiction Counseling Education Students, or what we call the ACES Club. The ACES Club is a service club. Clark College gives students opportunities for leadership and community service, and they also reimburse the club for their volunteer activities, and then the club uses that money pretty much however they would like to use it. In the past 2 years, the ACES Club has helped coordinate the Teens Care 2 prevention event, which, as Megan said, 250 youth coming down to Clark College campus for a day of workshop and activities. Clark ACES Club has been involved in the RX takebacks for the last 4 years. The students are currently volunteering in various activities, too numerous to mention. I don't even know what they're volunteering for right now. They're partnering with Prevent, West Van for New, Stacia, Prevent Together. All of these folks know about the ACES Club. And they, as a matter of fact, Lucy Ann is a former ACES student. The ACES program has hosted the Lifeline Connections alumni event on Clark College campus for the last 2 years, which typically has hosts about 250 to 300 individuals. These are people who have turned their lives around, and it's a celebration of their efforts. Last year, the department also hosted the Northwest Recovery Project as well as the Recovery Forum on campus. So we had a couple hundred people coming for the forum and the Northwest Recovery Project. The program enjoys partnerships with the local employers through our advisory committee. They help us guide the program and keep us pretty much on the cutting edge as far as treatment, as far as new science-based activities. I personally sit on the Washington Recovery Alliance Board, as well as our Southwest Washington Recovery Coalition here. I represent one of our other instructors, Jim Jensen, sits on the board of Daybreak Youth Services. So this completes the circle of partnerships to close the circle, uniting educators, treatment providers, the recovery and the prevention community, completing that circle. So we have communication, we have support, and also helping the aspiring counselors in getting those leadership opportunities, getting out into the community, and pretty much getting a hands-on for this. Through the Recovery Alliance, I'm also engaged in the Washington Recovery Alliance's effort to create a recovery coach credential here in the state of Washington. Oregon has this, we don't. We're in the process of publishing a curriculum guide to the International Certification and Reciprocity Consortium exam. This is courtesy of an ATR grant. So this is one of the results of an ATR grant. Access to recovery. As such, the recognition of the evolving needs of the community, the discussions that are now underway at Clark College to expand the ACD program to create a regional educational hub, not only for addictions counselors, but social services professionals at the baccalaureate level. As you know, there is legislation in the state that allows for community colleges to offer applied baccalaureates. In order to more holistically address the addictions and co-occurring mental health needs, the ACID program aims to continue to serve the community by providing the most professionally trained therapists to our service providers and prevention partners. I'm always asked, do you have credentialed people? And I say, no, we have to grow our own. And so the community is doing that quite well. Thank you.
The other thing we want to thank you for is your support for the zone change for Daybreak Youth Services new facility, the Harm Reduction Center for their needle exchange program, and the distribution of the naloxone at the Harm Reduction Center. So we greatly appreciate the county counselor's support in all activities in the recovery community of Clark County. The next slide is for your information. This is the current Substance Abuse Advisory Board members' information. So if you've got any questions for any of us, please feel free to contact us. Now, do the counselors have any questions?
I probably do, since this is really your last meeting. And is it the Behavioral Health Advisory Board? I can never remember that. The question is, I don't know, from you or maybe Dee Dee, when we go into the new board, it worries me that recovery will be, that prevention will get lost.
A couple of things is we will continue to hold the contract for prevention with the state of Washington. That, under the early adopter, that piece did not go to managed care organizations because it's not treatment. So actually allows us probably even a stronger focus in that area. So some counties have opted out of all prevention efforts, but Clark County chose to stay in contractual with BDHR at the state, so that should continue.
Okay. And I, this may be a little request then for the prevention people. You've made a good point of our moratorium on, you know, marijuana. However, it's here because of the cities. So the cities are getting the cash, and we're doing work, you know. I think it would Well, it would behoove all of us for you to reach to the cities and see if they would put out their hand and give us a little money for prevention. That's kind of my request for you. You know, it's always been that way.
Also, have you also push your legislators to fund those parts that we take care of? So.
Anything else? Anything? Yeah. Since this is your last official meeting, first of all, I'd like to thank you so much for all the board, for all you do. I remember when I was first elected in 2005, we used to have these meetings and they'd last about 15 minutes and we'd have maybe 5 minutes, you know, nothing to do. So I think it shows what we have done for this community, you know, to fill this up. But we could go on and on. And, you know, just for your work, when we did the original tax for mental health and, you know, and drug treatment, when we did the one tenth, that you guys were really the foundation of the meetings right here. We had meeting after meeting after meeting, you know. And you guys were one of this board was one of the foundations for really kicking the first budget off of that, so I owe you that. With this, the county has just a memento for you. It says, prevention works, treatment is effective, recovery is possible. So thank you for that. And we have 5 board members here, right? And each of you will get one of these to show off. Don't sell them.
Thank you.
Thanks.